This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening and welcome to Well. Tex and Jason with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. We've just listened to What Have I Done to Deserve This by the Pet Shop Boys and the immortal Dusty Springfield. Yesterday was 12 years since the immortal Dusty Springfield left this plane to be in a new ascended place in our hearts. That'll do for that. Thanks to the Been There, Done That team for another great show. Jason, how are you tonight?
I'm good, but I have to admit, I did get a bit of a giggle when you were saying that she left this plane. I'm like, what, did she have a connection? Where was she going?
She did have a connection. She had a connection with Glory, Joel.
But it's a bit of an exciting show tonight, isn't it?
It is a very exciting show, and I'm going to tell you about it right now, I think.
Oh, thank you.
Because tonight on the show, we're going to be welcoming back Kylie Johnston, who is currently working in Thailand. Kylie's going to be discussing her work in HIV in Bangkok. We're going to look at some snippets of news. Plus, we'll also be chatting about events happening around town just a little bit later. But right now, let's introduce her and welcome her back to Well. Kylie, welcome back.
Thank you, Tex. Thank you, Jason. It's great to be here. I was trying not to giggle then because there was a lot of hand actions with when you were talking about Dusty, and nothing's changed.
No,
has
nothing's
it?
Changed,
really?
Although, I haven't actually played Dusty for about 6 months, so...
You've been waiting for the anniversary.
Special occasion. I feel honoured. I feel blessed.
Now, Kylie, you're going to be with us throughout the whole show tonight.
Yes.
But later we're going to be finding out a little bit about your work that you've been doing as a volunteer in Bangkok, in Thailand.
That's correct.
Should be super. But Jason, we're going to look at some snippets of news. We still don't have our beep, 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 beep to say that it's news time. So we'll just shuffle a bit of paper to say, oh, yes, that's us looking through our paperwork. And Jason, kicking off tonight, we have a story very dear to your heart.
It is indeed. It's a story from AIDSMAP, and it's talking about a research project that just recently identified that text message reminders double the retesting rates among gay men. Now, in terms of, you know, for those wondering what these reminders may be, they're quite similar to those that are provided by the Drama Down Under website, where people can log on, sign up for an SMS or an email every 3, 6, or 12 months to remind them to go in and get another sexual health check.
And it's really interesting because they say that testing rates were twice as high among men who received the reminders than in men who didn't get the reminders. And they're saying that, to their knowledge, it's the first published study to demonstrate that improved HIV or STI retesting in men who have sex with men through short message services or SMS reminders has happened. Gay and other men who have sex with men here in Australia are recommended to have an annual HIV test. More frequent tests at intervals of every 3 to 6 months are recommended for people who are having lots of sex, which sort of makes sense. So if you're having lots and lots and lots of sex, we recommend that you have a test every 3 months. Having sex every now and then, you know, not all that often, though, every 6 months. But we do recommend that everybody has a test at least once a year, because as once you know, you can get the appropriate treatment if you have picked up something along the way.
And I mean... It's as the researchers pointed out, it is the first time that we actually have some concrete evidence to support the use of this kind of technology in sexual health. But if you think about it, with regards to other common kind of ongoing health maintenance that most people require, we're quite used to getting reminders. I know I get a reminder every 6 months from my dentist, time to go in for a checkup and cleaning.
Indeed.
And, sure. You know... It all kind of mixes into the complexity and busyness of our lives that sometimes those reminders obviously do help.
A question though, Jason, that reminder you get from your dentist every 6 months, does it actually prompt you to go into the dentist?
It does indeed. It prompts me to actually take a second to call and book an appointment. Otherwise, I'm awful at remembering to...
My dentist sends me a letter every 12 months, which I consistently have ignored.
Throw in the bin. Perhaps me as they send you a letter every 2 years. But I think it'd be great if they move that to, say, SMS or email, because I find that I've moved around a lot and you always forget to change it with the registry. So something that's probably likely to stay with you, like a phone number or an email address, would be good.
Well, I know that even with my dentist, when I first started going to that practice, I was given the option. And given the amount of kind of moving around that I've done in the past, kind of, let's just say, 5 years, that problem does arise.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. And so if anyone listening hasn't had a chance to have a look at The Drama Down Under, you can go on to thedramadownunder.info and follow the links to the Remind Me service and sign up for your reminders there.
And it's quite simply, it is all one word, thedramadownunder.info. And yeah, you can find out all sorts of interesting information there about different sexually transmitted infections, including HIV. And there is indeed this service which will allow you to have a regular SMS sent to you to remind you that testing is the way to go. Now, there's a study which has recently come out which has found that most lubricants damage rectal cells and some increase HIV activity. Now, this is a report out of the United States of America, and it was done by their population council, and it's found that every one of 41 commercially available sexual lubricants, which are on sale in the USA, actually damaged human rectal and colonic cells. That was in the test tube, and compromised the integrity of the single cell layer that forms the surface of the rectum.
I mean,
really strange, because we consistently say to people, use condoms and water-based lube. And this study is saying that those lubes might actually be compromising people's health.
Well, I think you need to kind of think of it in relative to the potential trauma to those tissues should lubricant
not
be used.
Lubricant, indeed.
And I think that, you know, as you said, it's always in combination with latex condoms, which would then kind of prevent any risk of transmission occurring in addition to any trauma. To the surrounding tissues.
I think that's one of the concerns about that when this was published, because I also read this last week before I came, and it is a concern if this is getting out and people are then not knowing what to do and still using condoms, but going, well, I'm not actually going to use lube, when it's not actually saying it's doing anything to the condom, so it's still going to be safer using the lube with the condom. So I'm hoping people aren't going to stop using lube because...
But even in the context where people aren't using condoms, let's look at that as an example. Intercourse without lubricant is bound to create more damage and therefore create more kind of opportunities for transmission to occur than in this case where there's a bit of compromised integrity of mucus tissue.
Yeah.
So I think it's a bit of a scary thing to send out just broadly, because the way that people
interpret.
Thank you.
Data. But I mean, I think it's important to put out there, but also the fact that it's lube that's available in the US as well.
Yeah, so it's certainly not the lubricant which is produced here in Australia. And if you'd like to find out more from the source we've been talking about, AIDS Map, really easy website, AIDS Map, AIDSMAP, AIDS Map, all one word, .com. They have a remarkably great selection of reports and stories and media reports.
And in really kind of easy to digest language as well.
Oh, it's really easy to digest. That's the reason I love it, is that a nincompoop like me can actually get through a report and understand what they're saying. Our former co-host here on Well, 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 Kylie Johnston, is back. Kylie, once again, welcome back to Melbourne and welcome back to Well, Well, Well.
Thank you. It's glad that the sun is out and it's nice and warm here for me in this amazing summer that you're having at the moment.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's nice.
Are you coping well with the change in weather?
No, not at all.
You're not?
No.
Right.
I bought, as you can see, a summer cardigan for warmth.
Right. Okay. You might need to go to that, get a hoodie or something.
Yes. I've got one at home.
All right. Good. Now, Kylie,
yes,
you've been involved in HIV work in Bangkok, Thailand for some time now. How long has it been?
I've been there for just over a year.
Oh, right.
So I'm actually back at the moment getting a new visa.
Mm-hmm.
So I got there on the 29th of January and started working on the 8th or 9th of February last year.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask you a bit about volunteering, but can you share with our listener just a brief overview, a little about the organisation that you're working with in Thailand?
Okay. So the organisation that I'm based with is called Treat Asia,
mm-hmm,
and they are a program of AMFAR, which is the Foundation for AIDS Research, and they're based in New York. So you may have heard of them. They do some gala events, and they have a lot of celebrities involved in trying to raise funds. So this is a Bangkok-based program that is they have a network of clinical research centers, and they, I guess, coordinate databases of people living with HIV who are on treatment, and they're observational databases, and they follow people on treatments and look at what's happening with resistance, opportunistic infections, that kind of thing, and they look at pediatrics and also adult. But within that organisation is the community program, and part of that program, there's a MSM program, so men who have sex with men.
Mm-hmm.
And I work within that program, which houses the secretariat for the Purple Sky Network. So that's kind of a long-winded way of ending up where I am. So the Purple Sky Network is a network of working groups in the Mekong region. So we have a working group in each country, which is including Thailand, Myanmar, Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, and two provinces of China, Guangxi and Yunnan.
Mm-hmm.
So six countries, yes. And so we work through these technical working groups, and we kind of connect them. The secretariat connects them together, and it's primarily around information sharing, skill sharing, and learning from each other about how people are responding to HIV within that region.
Okay. Now, when you left Melbourne to go and work there, I envisaged that you'd be working on the ground, in the middle of the community, and you informed us you're on the, is it the 14th or the 18th?
The 21st.
21st floor of a building.
Yes.
And I was going to ask you, was it difficult for you to move from, you know, Australia's called a first world country and supposedly parts of Asia are third world countries? I mean, I don't know where the second comes in, but Was it difficult to work in a different country, or was it very similar moving from an office to an office?
Bangkok is quite easy to move to. It's a very big, busy city, and it's almost overwhelming at times. So, you know, being based in still based in an office, but working in a much bigger city. But I do get to travel to other countries, and obviously their cities are a lot smaller, and we do go out to regional centres as well. So there wasn't a huge culture shock when I got there, and I have done quite a bit of travel as well. So it wasn't a big shock for me. If anything, working in this environment it's probably not more professional, because but it's a different environment, because I'm working with people that aren't necessarily from the community and connected at a community level. I'm working with people that are working with clinicians and researchers on a daily basis. So it's a very different work environment. So it's been a real learning experience for me to make that shift from moving away from community,
mm-hmm,
and working, I guess, through people that are connected to community. So it's just a level back.
Now, while you are working in Bangkok, you're still a volunteer. Now, is that through an organisation back here in Australia?
Yes, it's part of the Australian government volunteer program. And so you have several organisations based in Australia. People may have heard of Australian Volunteers International and the Youth Ambassador Project. I'm with VEDA, which is Volunteering for International Development from Australia. And they take skilled Australian volunteers and place them in different countries. So you apply like a regular job. On their website, they'll have a list of vacancies and you apply and interview as you would for any other job. The process probably takes a little bit longer because you're dealing with the people based in Australia who are kind of, I guess, screening you to see if you're suitable and narrowing down the number of candidates before passing it over to your host organisation in country, which is Treat Asia in my case. So the volunteers for this program can be 18 and over, up to any age. So I, when I did my training, I think there was someone in their 70s that was going over, was retired and wanted to give back and was doing a project on water. So the programs or the positions aren't just health. They're also things like environment and climate change, law, I guess governance as well. So it covers the broad spectrum of development issues that Australia provides aid for.
If you've just joined us, we're chatting with Kylie Johnston from, currently from Thailand, but who's working with Volunteering for International Development from Australia, or VEDA. Now, Kylie, if someone wants to volunteer with VEDA, where is it likely that they'd be sent to? Are people sent to Africa, the Middle East, or is it mainly within the Asia-Pacific region?
With the VEDA program, it's with, at the moment, it's the Asia-Pacific only. Mm-hmm. And so we have volunteers through the countries that I work in, except for Myanmar. And then you have people that are going to a lot of the Pacific Islands as well. And it varies. And also the length of assignment can vary as well. So people can go for a short-term period, like 3 months, if it's something that's really discreet and can happen over that period of time. Or you can go for up to 3 years, mm-hmm. if it's basically setting something up from scratch.
And do you know how long you'll be there for?
I'm there till September. So my assignment was about 20 months.
Mm-hmm. Good hope.
Yes.
And now, is it just single people that go, or can people take their partners and family with them when they're going to volunteer in somewhere like you are?
People can take their partners. I went to training with a guy who was taking his wife and two children, very mm-hmm. young children, and you can get some support for your family, but it's based on a case-by-case basis, and your partner, for example, will probably go through the same kind of preparation as you, because they do get insurance coverage, the same coverage as you, so they need to have the same sort of medical checkups before you go, and they also can come to the training that we do, which is a 3-day training, just to go through the practicalities of living overseas and explaining insurance and, you know, if you get into a difficult situation, that kind of thing.
I don't know how well Gary would respond to me saying, all right, let's move to Bangkok.
I'd probably be okay with that. Actually, you could apply for a VEDA position, Jason, because you don't need to be a citizen, but you need to be a permanent resident. So,
perfect.
Whereas the program, like the Youth Ambassadors for Development, you need to be a citizen. So It's open to people that have been living here and have a residency as well.
We were talking about volunteering, and I believe there's a website that people can look at.
Yes, so every month there's new assignments listed, mm-hmm. and as I mentioned, they range from short-term to up to 3 years. And the website you go to is vidavolunteers.com.au, so it's VIDA. Volunteers, that's all one word, .com.au. And you can download all the forms to apply. Mm-hmm. You can see what else they get up to. There's also there's some I think video and also some podcasts of people's experiences of volunteering. They have information nights around Australia. That's how I got involved. I went to an information night, found out a little bit more about what was involved. They have returned volunteers talking about their experiences, and there's also an alumni as well, so you can stay in touch with the organisation and other people that volunteer, and you can also go and do another assignment if you so wish in another country or the same country. Mm. So there's
so
there's
you can
lots
keep
of
on going
options
around the world.
Well, a small section of the region, yeah. Yes. So, yeah. And the youth program, the Australian Youth Ambassadors for Development, they're expanding into Africa as well. So they're going to Ghana as well, and they're 12-month projects. So, if people want to take a year off from work, a sabbatical, I guess you could look into volunteering.
Okay,
so, and you meet lots of great other volunteers.
Good. Just like any volunteer organisation like the Victorian AIDS Council Game and Sense Health Centre, about Joy 94.9, Vida's a bit the same. You get to meet great people. Kylie, perhaps we can move on to chat about the work you're doing in Bangkok and in the region. Can you share with us a little bit about the Purple Sky Network? What's the Purple Sky Network?
Okay. Well, I mentioned earlier that it's a network made up of working groups or technical working groups in the countries of the Greater Mekong sub-region. So we're looking at Cambodia. In China, we've got Guangxi and Yunnan provinces. We've got Laos, Myanmar, Thailand and Vietnam. And so in each of those countries, there's a working group and they're made up of, it could be international, non-government organisations, community organisations, government. So a government, the National AIDS Authority, for example, might sit on this working group as well. And so it's about bringing all those different people together to try and address HIV in men who have sex with men and transgender women in that country. So ultimately we want them to do in-country work, but it's how we can support them to do that, and whether that's developing skills, trying to do advocacy work, or just providing them with information, so good data, opportunities for them to build their skills as well. So what we try and do is at the Secretariat, we connect them. And my role is a communications officer. So I do a lot of, I guess, communicating and bringing people together and trying to get them to share their experiences. And it can be really challenging because people have they have their regular job, but they also attend this working group and try and work together on top of that a lot of the time.
So just on a bit of a side note on that, rather on that topic there, are there many kind of paid staff that are doing a lot of the work, or is there quite a bit of volunteer?
Well, with the Secretariat, there's two people within the Secretariat. There's the coordinator, Midnight, and myself within the office, and we have a manager and an assistant. But within those technical working groups, they do it, I guess, as part of their job. It's kind of or on top of the work when they come together as a technical working group. I guess it's when we have a meeting with a lot of different stakeholders. For example, it's exactly the same. It's they're volunteering their time to do this. So if it's outside of their work hours, then they're doing it as a voluntary basis as well. And so we have two people from each of those working groups that make up our board. And we established a board mid last year, so because the people in these working groups wanted a bit more decision making power, which makes sense. They direct the work that happens.
And I guess could you maybe give our listener a better understanding of what the epidemic looks like? What are the rates of HIV and other STIs in that region?
It is really varied, and just some. For example, I've just looked at some cross-sectional studies, so which is similar to the gay periodic study that happens. So it's not looking at every man or every transgender woman in each country, but it really varies across the region. So, for example, in Cambodia, one of the last cross-sectional studies revealed a prevalence of 8.7%. You have in Myanmar was up to like 29%. Thailand, depending on where they've done the cross-sectional study, it ranges from 17 up to about 30%. I think that 30% in Thailand was from Bangkok quite a few years ago. It's actually starting to drop. I think it's gone down to about 24%.
So I guess, you know, to compare to what we know about the prevalence among MSM here in Melbourne of about, you know, 13, 14. Huge differences.
Yes, and across that region, and I guess within the region, you have to think about mobility as well, like where people are traveling to, and Bangkok being a hub. If people are leaving the surrounding countries because they might think that living in Bangkok might be there might be less stigma or discrimination, for example. You've got to think about those issues and where people are moving and what are they doing when they get there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Kylie, it's been wonderful to have you back on the air with us and back in the studio here on Well, Well, Well. I know you're going to stick around as we go through looking at some facets of interesting information about events happening around town and around Victoria. But at the moment, thank you very much for coming in. You're going to be coming back in September. Are you coming back?
Yes. Well, yes, the plan is to come back. I am coming back. My assignment finishes. So I am coming back.
Good.
But I'm going to stay connected to the Purple Sky Network because being the communications officer, I do a newsletter, mm-hmm. a quarterly newsletter, and I want to continue to do the editing and collating for that because I really enjoy it. It keeps me across a lot of the issues because the stories are coming from community members. There's a website where people can look at that newsletter. It's purplesky.asia, and you go to the resources section and you can check out our newsletters.
Now it's the time when we recommend you get a pen and paper or your iPad handy, as we have a few websites and phone numbers for you. Now, I added in the iPad because I wanted to be in. Is that the right word?
You're so 2011, Tex.
So it is iPad.
Is it the iPad or the iPad 2?
Fantastic.
Oh, there's a second one.
Yeah,
oh,
good. iPad 2. I'll write that in for next week. Now we've got a couple of announcements, so different things that are happening, and the first one kicking it off is the outreach project at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. The outreach project are a bunch of same-sex attracted men who chat to other gay and bisexual guys about HIV and other sexually transmitted infections in online and in sex on-premises venues. There's training happening on the 19th and the 26th of March, so coming up really soon. And if you'd like more information or perhaps to arrange a selection interview, you can contact Tex.
Who's that?
Oh, he's a gorgeous fella. He works at the Victorian AIDS Council, and a contact number for him is 98656700. 98656700.
I hear he looks like Elvis.
And he likes Dusty Springfield.
That's right. He can't be all bad.
Now, we probably should drop a little disclaimer because we might say a few naughty words.
That's right.
But we do like to talk about this quite a bit on the show, and it's one of our latest projects. I'll admit it's me that likes to talk about it, but it's Queer as Fuck, and it's our online soap opera that's based around Facebook, and Series 3 is now live, and the latest episode went up yesterday. Mm-hmm. Very, very exciting. You can have a look at it on either Facebook or YouTube, and the URL is facebook.com/QAF. XXK or youtube.com/queerasfxxk. Now, there's even a little bit more exciting news about this project, as it's going to have a very, very, very special screening at the upcoming Queer Film Festival.
Oh, that's right, yes.
So it'll be an opportunity to see the highlights from Series 1, 2, and 3, as well as kind of have a bit of a Q&A session with the cast and crew, including Judith Lucy, Andrew Powell, who's quite commonly known as Ethel Chop, mm-hmm. and Adam Richard as well. So come on by, it should be a good time, and you can get your tickets now on mqff.com.au.
Indeed. I was, we were going to mention as well that it is Melbourne's 21st annual Queer Film Festival. Starts on Thursday the 17th of March and runs through to the 27th. You can go along and help them celebrate their 21st birthday, 21st birthday of the festival. As Jason said, the website mqff.com.au. You can search through the program. The programs are available in hard copy all over town here in Melbourne. But they are also the program is also available through the website mqff.com.au, including that special Facebook screening. Do we know when that is?
It'll be on the 26th of March at 2 p.m. So it's a Saturday afternoon session. It should be good fun, as anyone who has seen Judith, Andrea, or Adam live. They're quite an entertaining bunch.
Indeed. And they're very entertaining on Queer as Fuck as well.
They are indeed.
Multitude of roles.
Judith and Denise's characters, Brandy and Brenda, are a fairly entertaining bunch.
Mm-hmm. Are the boys going to be there as well? Like the other cast?
We're still waiting to get confirmation on who will be available, but we have got confirmation from the actor who plays Toby. The younger character from the latest series, as well as the actor who plays Aaron, the character everyone loves to hate, it seems.
Yes.
Oh,
me too. Oh,
as well,
gosh, as don't get me started on Aaron.
the writers and directors as well. So it should be a great time, and for something that a lot of the fans have only seen on the small screen, it'd be great to see it kind of in full quality, so be great.
It's exciting.
That's right. And that website again is mqff.com.au. But Jason and Kylie, Chill Out is fast approaching. Bollywood in the Bush. We're going to be there. You may not
I
be, Kylie,
be.
But the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre will be there in Daylesford with an information tent and some fantastic show bags. So come on up and say hello. Chill Out happens over the Labor Day weekend. That's the 11th to the 14th of March. And if you'd like more information, especially about accommodation, if you're thinking of staying, you better get on there quick smart. Joy will also be doing an outside broadcast on the Labor Day holiday, which is actually the Sunday will be the broadcast, which is not the Labor Day holiday after all. But you can go to Chill Out Festival, all one word, chilloutfestival.com.au.
Now, it might be a good point to let people know that if they didn't get a chance to get one of the Queer as Fuck t-shirts that we were handing out at Carnival,
oh, yes,
there'll be even more at our stall at the Chill Out Fair Day.
So even more reason to go.
Indeed.
Show bag, t-shirt, get to see some of the staff and the volunteers from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre.
And have a fantastic time
And
as
have
well.
A fantastic time at Bollywood in the Bush. Jason, private lives.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had Liam Leonard from, again, Lesbian Health Victoria on the show a couple of weeks ago now, talking about this. And it's the second iteration of a health and wellbeing survey for GLBT Australians. It's conducted in partnership with the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University, and it aims to be the largest and most comprehensive assessment of the health of Australian GLBT communities to date. So obviously this is something that we need everyone to come on board for. You can do the survey quickly online by going to privatelivessurvey.com.au. That's privatelivessurvey.com.au.
And you've got to look at it because Private Lives Survey actually contains a double S. So make sure you put in the extra S.
Otherwise, you can go to glhv.org.au and get the link there.
Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria.
Indeed.
For details about loads of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer or questioning groups in our community, you can check out the ALSO directory. We talk about the ALSO directory all the time. I call it my Bible. I've replaced the other Bible, which is really hard and heavy to carry around, with a really slim-lined Bible, the ALSO directory. Hard copies of the book are available in venues and gay-friendly shops, or you can check it out online via the ALSO Foundation's website. Very simply, ALSO, A-L-S-O, ALSO.org.au. Then when you're into that fantastic website, you can click on the directory, lists all the different gay, lesbian, bisexual, etc., alphabet community groups in our community, and lots of service providers as well who are either gay and lesbian or are very gay and lesbian friendly.
That's right. Now, if you're going to be heading into the bush and for Chill Out, you might also have a chance to see our country cousins, I guess.
They are our country cousins.
At the Country Awareness Network, which is based in Bendigo and provides information on HIV and other STIs for people in rural and regional Victoria. You can have a look at their website, and it's quite an easy one to remember. can.org.au.
That's right. Can, as in tin can, can.org.au. The latest issue of PosLink, which is the free magazine for people living with HIV, is available online via the People Living with HIV AIDS Victoria website. The website address, plwhavictoria, all one word, plwhavictoria.com.au. Once you're on the site, click on Living with HIV, and then you'll be able to see the current issue, which is really sensational, but also the past issues as well.
Now, Tex, I hate to say it, but it's going to be time to wrap it up. I've got to shut you up.
Good Lord.
I've got to shut you up, because we do want to give an opportunity to Kylie to remind us of those very fantastic websites that you were mentioning earlier. For people that are interested in looking at volunteer opportunities in the Asia-Pacific region through the organization that you've gone through, what's the website for them?
It's vidavolunteers.com.au. So it's V-I-D-A, volunteers, that's all one word, .com.au. And actually, if people are 30 and under and are interested in the youth one, it's aiad.com.au. So that's aiad.com.au.
Think it through.
So I think, you know, if you're interested in working in gender, development, environment, health, infrastructure, governance, education, and also trades as well. Mm. And there's some sporting positions. So
it's kind of something for everyone.
Yes, right? Something for everyone.
And it's is it an experience that you would recommend?
Yes, absolutely.
So okay. That's really gorgeous. Coming up next is Theme Party. And tonight with Katie and Daniel, the theme is beets. Now, I promised I would not say anything about beets, so I'm not going to say anything about beets except that is the theme music.
I love theme Party. I'm so glad they're back on, like, after you guys. I won't say us, but they used to be on when we were in South Melbourne, straight after Well.
That's right. And then that's Theme Party is followed at 10 p.m. by Hide and Seek with Dean and Travis. Anyone you want to say hello to, Kylie?
Oh, can't think. Jill!
Okay. Thanks to everybody who messaged in. Jason, you've got any hellos? I'd like to say hello to my partner, Harry, to Warren, Deb, and yes, to you, the listener. The last track is again by Dusty Springfield, who left us 12 years ago yesterday. My favourite track sums it all up, Kylie. I only want to be with you. Yeah, cheers, everyone. Good night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.